Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Is there like any way we can cancel this whole thing?
Yes.
No.
Dad, it's like Emily turned out to be this whole different other person.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
All men are nervous the night before their wedding, okay?
You mean all guys are nervous and anxious? And kind of hope she's a can of botulism?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Or maybe she could hang out with a deer and a hunter accidentally shoots her. Or you know when she's sleeping, she makes that nose whistle sound? What you'd really like to do is take her stupid little red toothbrush and ram it up her nostril into her skull?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
These are perfectly normal feelings.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on The Fan. We'll hear from Nick Saban. The Blazers lost and won. CJ made his return last night. And Paul Pierce tells national TV viewing audience that, yes, he was indeed better than Dwayne Wade. Did somebody say this and make Paul Pierce back it up? No, Paul Pierce brought this up and stated it.
On his own. He threw his name out there.
And anytime, because people will say, well, that wasn't on his own. He was asked by Beadle. Beadle didn't ask that unless she heard from Paul Pierce saying it behind the scenes. I'll tell you that much. That's not just something randomly that she's going to throw out there. She knows Paul Pierce has probably been saying this behind the scenes. Like, I was better than him. Why is people making this big deal? I think he's bitter because he didn't get a goodbye tour the way other players did. Remember when Draymond said, you're not Kobe?
You're not Kobe. You don't deserve one like Kobe did. You're not Dwayne Wade. That's why Dwayne Wade's getting a better tour.
And then don't forget, I'm actually really looking forward to people being able to hear this. Wright Thompson, one of the best, if not the best sports writer out, he will join the show at 2 o'clock. He's got a new book released, and he'll join us to talk everything about his career and what he's been doing in his life. So Wright Thompson at 2. It's time, though, for our NFL Whip Around.
Frozen Tundra.
Wait. We'll start with those Raiders, a.k.a. the Steelers as well. So somebody tweeted Antonio Brown a picture. 2018 Steelers, most valuable player, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Remember, that was reportedly the thing that sent him off the wall.
Yes.
Was that he was not voted team MVP.
And Steelers Steve on Twitter sent this to him, probably knowing there's a chance he could piss him off.
Way to go, Steelers Steve.
And yeah, it did. Antonio Brown found the tweet, quote tweeted it, and said, emotion. Boy fumbled the whole postseason in the biggest game of the year. Everyone went blind to busy making guys famous. Not enough reality these days. And he uses the, what do they call this? The shucka? What is that?
The Hawaiian thing.
The Hawaiian.
Yeah. Hey, hang loose.
Hang loose.
Right? I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of something far dirtier. Hang loose.
Never heard the other thing he said.
By the way, check the list. So he also went on to say, keep your emotions off the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Juju Smith-Schuster responded to this and said, keep your emotions off the internet. This was 4 hours later. All I ever did was show that man love and respect from the moment I got to the league. I was genuinely happy for him, too, when he got traded to Oakland with a big contract. And now he takes shots at me on social media. Crazy how big that ego got to be. Take shots at people who show you love, SMH. Shake my head. And he quote used a caption from Mark Twain. Never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell the difference.
It's a great quote.
Antonio Brown responded that this morning, and he is getting killed for it. With a picture of Juju at USC sending a DM to Antonio Brown saying, what's up, AB? I'm a receiver at University of Southern California. I appreciate all your work. You're a great man on and off the field. Do you have any tips that can help my make my game the next level? Thanks, man. So we have a random beefing with Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. And I think Antonio Brown thinks he won this because of that DM post. But most people are like, dude, that just shows how much respect Juju had for Antonio Brown.
Yeah, wouldn't you want a wide receiver to do that, to reach out to somebody who he thought was the best and ask for advice? I don't get what he's trying to prove in that. And I don't get what he gets out of responding to the initial tweet. Like, Look, maybe Roger Goodell sent out a memo and said, you know, the NBA's done a really good job of keeping drama in their game, and it's compelling to the fans, and it's a year-round sport now because of it. Maybe we should have more drama. Let's get in Twitter beefs. Antonio Brown was just on the, what is it, the LeBron show, the shop, the uninterrupted, whatever it is, the HBO one. He was on that show, and he was talking about this whole thing in Pittsburgh, and he tried to argue with a straight face. You can go watch the videos. It's out there. He tried to argue with a straight face that he doesn't have an ego. None of this is about ego. It's all about him wanting to win, and they didn't want to win as badly as he did in Pittsburgh. And then you let something like this, a team MVP picture from a random guy named Steeler Steve, send you over the edge? Like, this sums up everything that's wrong with Antonio Brown. Maybe it works out in Oakland. Maybe he has a big year. I wouldn't be shocked. The guy's still a hell of a talent. Nobody's ever questioned that. But he is petty. His ego is way too big, and he clearly has not moved on.
You made a good point. Antonio Brown, Juju fumbled the season away. Juju, I've done nothing but respect you. Antonio Brown, not true. Look at this message you sent me on Instagram when you were in college when you politely asked for advice.
When you respected me. Oh, wait. That backfired.
I've made my feelings very clear, Antonio Brown, so I'm not wavering at all when I say this. You'll not convince the vast majority, but I think a lot of people, he has officially become the biggest D-bag in the National Football League.
This is such a bad look.
I'm rooting so hard for Oakland to succeed with him. And I won't be shocked in 2 years if they're trying to get out of that situation and that contract.
Yeah, this makes me a little nervous for my Raiders. I was all pumped on their offseason moves. This kind of stuff scares me.
In the department of winning Super Bowl championships, one quarterback has picked his destiny, and that will be to replace Kirk Cousins. Sean Mannion is a new backup for the Minnesota Vikings. Here comes the Super Bowl, baby.
Are you on my Vikings bandwagon now?
Only if Mannion plays.
Let's go.
Get that bum out of there. 84 guaranteed for what? Not making the playoffs? Nobody, put Mannion in there.
Nobody needs Kirkers anymore. Come on, Mannion time.
No.
Good for him hanging around. Dude, the life as a backup quarterback's a good gig. He's got to figure it out. How much is he going to make? Is it safe?
I think it's like a minimum type deal.
Yeah, still, it's decent money. Not a lot of pressure. He's got to play a couple of preseason games every year. If you can hang on for a good decade as a backup quarterback in this league, that's a solid career right there.
Yeah, ask Kellen Clements.
Yeah, you don't take the wear and tear that the starters do. You don't have the same, you know, head concussion stuff because you're not getting hit every single Sunday.
What is it with Duck and Beaver quarterbacks that are, I mean, think about A.J. Feely, Matt Moore, Derek Anderson. Yeah.
Kellen Clements. You know what else, too? They all get shots and they succeed, but it's not... They can't sustain it.
No, it's like a four-game span where they play good.
Like, Kellen Clements had a good run as a starter. Derek Anderson did well with the Browns.
Matt Moore had chances in Miami.
AJ Feely had that run with the
Eagles. I saw AJ Feely when he was taking over for McNabb, and they got to the title game.
Yeah, good for Sean Mannion, hanging around.
And then let's get to this one. Josh Rosen, there's a lot that was made about him going into the draft. He likes to talk. He's arrogant. He's a pompous kid. Well, you didn't really hear anything from him year one. And then all we've heard from Arizona this year is, do they draft Kyler Murray? And then when do they trade Josh Rosen? And yet you haven't heard a peep from him. He was the first to show up for their OTAs at the Arizona facilities.
This needs more attention. That was one of those storylines last year before the draft that really bothered me. It felt like it was people grasping at things, not really understanding or having ever met or talked to him. It was just a lot of secondhand stories about maybe there's a worry there. And I think it was the main reason that he slipped to where he slipped in the draft was there was these character concerns. And if there's anybody out there this offseason in the NFL that has the right to feel wronged or to be ticked off at their organization or to be upset with the way things have been handled around him, it is Josh Rosen. That guy was handed a turd sandwich last year as a rookie. He was thrown into the line of duty because Sam Bradford's terrible. He had a really bad rookie season, which we see a lot of rookie quarterbacks have bad seasons. Like, that is the time when, after a rough first year, you should be spending your next offseason thinking about, how do we improve the roster around him? How do we make his job easier? How do we nurture him into becoming a better starting quarterback in the National Football League, like we've seen the Jets do around Darnold, like we've seen the Browns do around Baker Mayfield? None of that has happened with him. The only conversation around him all offseason has been, are they going to trade him because they're so enamored with Kyler Murray? After one season, you're going to cut and run on a guy who was a top, 10 or 11 pick, wherever he was taken. Like, if there's anybody who should hold out and be pissed and not be at OTAs, it's him. But he's there on day one. Again, proving the ridiculous thing when we go through these character stuff. Like, Mariota had it. He has no red flags. That's a red flag. And Rosen's was it because he was a little outspoken in college and he liked having chicks in his hot tub in his dorm room? We shouldn't draft this guy. Are you kidding me? Like, good for him for showing up. I hope it works out for him. I'm pulling for Josh Rosen.
Poll question. Did we appreciate the fact that he had an inflatable hot tub
That's
in
what
his
I'm
dorm
saying.
Room?
How many of us would have had a hot... If you could have had a hot tub in your dorm room, would you have had a hot tub in your dorm room?
Hell yeah!
Exactly!
Yes!
We did not appreciate that
enough.
That's
why the first off-campus house I moved into in college had a hot tub.
Exactly!
Come on!
I got a buddy who just bought a house that's got a hot tub. I'm stoked. Hot tub parties. Let's go. This guy had one in his dorm room. And we use it as a red flag.
No.
Good for him, man.
We didn't appreciate that enough, did we?
No. That was like that was when Josh Rosen burst onto the scene. It was the picture of him that circulated on social media, him with a hot blonde in a hot tub in his dorm room.
How many fans, by the way, on the Josh Rosen stuff? I hope he succeeds. I do. How many teams are just thankful they didn't actually follow through and trade for Antonio Brown today?
Yeah, probably a few of them.
You can keep those stats. I'll make up for it with like three other guys. I don't need that in my life.
We got to deal with this now. Let it go, buddy. Let it go.
All right, there's our NFL whip around. We do it every Monday at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll stick in football. Nick Saban has real cause for concern of players that leave college early. Is it sour grapes because he has, let me start that over. That was a terrible
rewind.
Setup.
Rewind.
I'd much rather us be a Peter Mutter Cups place.
Okay, it wasn't that bad. Is Nick Saban got sour grapes? Or does he have a good point? That's next on The Fan. Knows how long I've loved. All right, it's 116 on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
See, now here's one I slightly disagree with. Sorry, I don't want to sidetrack us too much.
Oh, go ahead, sidetrack us.
I digress.
Because, like, boats get this. You don't want to be the guy that owns a boat. You want to know a boat owner.
Well,
for
if
the
you
most part, a boat.
Yeah,
why don't
I've
you
heard
boat?
That before.
But,
yes.
For the, like, it's a lot of upkeep. You got where do you put it? You got yeah. You know, there's a lot that goes into owning
a
boat.
A lot of maintenance, a lot of cost.
Right, but knowing a guy who owns a boat, it's great. Like, hey, sure, let's go out on the river. It's a beautiful day, right? Okay. Somebody said, using that analogy about hot tubs, and I disagree with that.
I disagree with both of them, but okay.
Yeah, he says it's better to know somebody with a hot tub than have one yourself. No,
the hot tubs today, pretty easy maintenance.
I feel like, right?
Until they go.
Right, but until
to
they're
square
old.
That makes hot
Once
water.
They go, they're done. My parents had had a hot tub for, I don't know, 10, 11 years, and the maintenance was, you know, not much, but then, like, the whole heating element thing went, and it's... There's no point.
Yeah, I get the boat
one.
You gotta
wait and get another one.
I get the boat one just because there's a lot of financial, like, you're always gonna having to do stuff.
Yeah,
you gotta
either,
find a dock. You got, you know, it's
or
a whole thing.
You gotta haul it around. You gotta,
right,
you know,
gotta
get the trailer and get to a boat ramp. Otherwise, you gotta pay for moorage and all that stuff.
So, but this here's the thing: I've heard that expression for most of my life. Like, it's better to know a guy that has a boat than to own one.
Yeah,
and let me just tell you, as a kid who lived in a trailer, I always laughed at that idea because it was like, no. If you're poor, it's better to know a guy with a boat.
Sure.
If you can afford a boat, you get a boat. You can afford it. It's not a problem.
Yeah, no, that's valid. It's still a lot that goes into it. Like,
sure.
My whole thing with the hot tub is I don't think there's much, as Swigart's mentioned, there's not much that goes into it.
No, once you get it in there and pay for it and you get the concrete slab and all that sort of stuff,
boom.
If you...
You got a hot tub.
Regularly take care of it and you drain it and, you know, once a year when you're supposed to and check everything, it'll stay in good shape for a long time.
Yeah. So I just wanted to address that. I disagree. I would love to own a hot tub.
You can own a hot tub.
I digress.
You can go get a hot tub for like $6,000.
Like, how much are those inflatable ones?
No, don't do that.
Throw one of those in the bedroom?
That's like the guy who gets the inflatable pool that's like 5 feet when you stand. And it's like, why don't you just go in and get a real pool?
I'm actually contemplating buying one of those this summer.
don't do that.
Come on.
Don't get an above ground
pool party at Dirt's. No, not like one that you like actually put up in the backyard, but I want one that is big enough to like lay down in and you just inflate it and deflate it. Does it not sound appealing to anybody
else?
Yeah,
and then your dog jumps in to hang out with you and rips it.
Yeah.
And now it's done.
You can get one of those for like $18 on Amazon.
They're with your jorts.
Yeah.
And your flip-flops and natty lights.
You get to that week straight where it's 100 degrees every day. I know it's hard to fathom right now, but we'll get to that point in the calendar.
Well, congratulations. You have derailed the segment.
You can come lay in my pool, buddy.
I don't want to lay in your pool.
You want to lay in my pool?
I also find it weird. Your buddy just bought a house and you just said, oh, I'm glad you have a hot tub now.
Yeah, he was like, they
congrats,
were
congrats, you bought a house.
Well, I mean, sure, yeah.
A hot tub.
Let's focus on the important things. You have a hot tub in your backyard. And it's a nice patio.
Yeah, if I'm him, I don't know if I'm really telling a bunch of people. I don't know if I want my bros coming over and hot tubbing with each other.
Yeah, I was joking. I saw his lady friend this weekend, and I was joking, saying, because it's like in my neighborhood. And she was saying, I'm fully expecting just to randomly see you guys like sneaking in our backyard and jumping in the hot tub.
That's creepy.
And I was like, yeah, I might just wave at you from the kitchen window. Hey, good morning.
You're a creepy friend.
I'm hanging out in your hot tub,
Dirt's
buddy.
Creepy friend.
Yeah.
See, you know,
speaking
I just,
of creepy, Nick Saban, anyone?
Oh, we're doing it. Wow. I thought we were on a good hot tub run here.
Sorry.
I thought we were talking outdoor pools and hot tubs.
Here's the thing, Swigart. My gut feeling says Dirt has a segment. He's not quite sure he wants to do it. He's like, what if I derail this and talk hot tubs and I have Nick Saban? Because that's coming up here in 10 minutes.
I could get 10 more minutes out of hot tubs. You kidding me?
Here's my thing. I know a guy that has a really nice house in Sun River.
Okay.
And he uses it and then he rents it out for most of the year. He too has a hot tub. Not once since I've known him has he gone, we need to go to the Sun River house. We need the hot tub. And I'm glad that he hasn't done that. I find that can be sometimes a little weird of like,
dudes in a hot tub.
Hey guys, why don't y'all come over? We're going to hot tub together. That feels like something you do at a bridal shower.
Well,
a bachelorette party.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you're right in certain aspects there. It can be a little weird when you're broing out in a hot tub.
That hot tub is for him and his lady friend.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that.
You know, like, yeah. I'm not going to be like, hey, Dirt, I just happen to be in Milwaukee. Can I come over and use your hot tub? Do you want a hot tub right now?
Can I come hang out in your backyard, man?
A sauna, I get. A sauna, it's like, oh, it's hang out in the sauna, but the hot tub.
Yeah,
is...
I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be used like regularly, but when I remember being younger, like high school, college age, and we had a buddy in the neighborhood that had a hot tub.
Sure.
And whenever there was a snowstorm, we'd go jump in his hot tub, and it was fun. Like there are. I'm saying I get your fear of broing out in a hot tub. Like that's not.
It's not a fear. It's just how I kind of feel about it. It's like I don't want to hang out with my friends in a hot tub.
You don't put that on the calendar. Like, hey, let's have a hot tub night. It's one of those things where it's like there. It's readily available in case you're in the mood for a hot tub night. Okay, end of the night. Yeah. Everybody's kind of hammered. You're like, let's jump in the hot tub. All right. Right. If you don't have a hot tub, you don't have that option at the end of a Friday night.
Yeah. I'm waiting for a group text between you and your friends. It's like, hey guys, got the beer, hot tub night.
Let's go and bring it over.
I'm gonna set the
Pelican.
The over under number for you is gonna be 3.
No, I'm not a bro.
I'm gonna set the number 3. You will not use that hot tub more than 3 times in the next calendar year.
Oh, that's probably safe. I probably won't. But the 2 times, it'll be really cool. It'll be a lot of fun.
I'll be real hammered
hanging out in a hot tub.
I'm not poo-pooing the hot tub. I like hot tubs. I actually kind of want to get one where I'm currently living.
Yeah, see, the only reason we knew about it was because he was going through the process of trying to buy houses. So he was like sending like, hey, what do you guys think of this place? So he would send like the Redfin link
right
to the group. So he'd scroll through.
Yeah, sure.
That stands out. When you get to the backyard, that was my first question. Does it come? I'm assuming it comes with the hot tub.
See, but the difference would be if I had a friend doing that, you responded with what? Oh, dude, hot tub. We got to hot tub it up. I would respond, yeah, hot tub for you and the lady. That's cool.
Hot tub party, baby.
You used to fart in the tub, blow bubbles, didn't you? Yeah, you did. You did. Silence says everything.
Somebody said bro tubbing is legit. I do it all the time.
I mean, I enjoy having a good time, but I don't bro out.
You only bro out on boats and hot tubs.
Boats and hot tubs.
When water's involved, it's okay to bro out.
You know what? I'm going to quote it. I'm going to tweet it. Dirt's philosophy of life. it's only okay to bro out in a boat or a hot tub.
Yeah, boats and hot tubs are acceptable forms of broing.
That's okay.
Okay.
I'm glad to know what your line is now.
I love broing out on a boat.
I'm in on that too.
Yeah.
100% with you on a boat.
You get like 8 dudes in a boat.
But see, a boat
out.
Is different. A boat is like, we can go to the middle of the lake or river. I can anchor down. We can go swim. We can sit in the sun, have conversations. Have a cold one.
Yeah.
We can go fishing. Like,
sure,
there's a lot of different things. The hot tub is like, hey, let's sit within a 4x6 radius, almost naked, and just sitting in hot water.
Hey, just hang out.
I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but
you're just blowing out in a tub.
It's not for everybody. Okay. I guess that's my larger point.
Okay.
Not for everybody.
Sorry to derail the entire segment on hot tubs.
You know, I don't think you are. I think you planned this the entire time.
No, this was an unplanned.
You're an evil genius.
This was an unplanned segment.
You like to play the moron. You're not one.
No, I only thought it just came up with the Josh Rosen hot tub stuff. That's what sidetracked us on hot tubs.
By the way, picture of the hot tub when we saw Josh Rosen in it. Who was with him?
Hot blonde.
It wasn't a bro session, yeah, I'll tell you that much.
I guarantee you he broed out in that tub, though.
No way.
I guarantee you. You kidding me? He had that thing in the dorm room.
You think Josh Rosen, cover boy of SI, was having bro out sessions in the tub, and it wasn't just Josh Rosen and ladies?
He never had an offensive lineman and a wide receiver in there.
I don't think he's in the living room going, inflating that thing so he could have his offensive lineman and backup quarterback come hang out.
Somebody said, I've had a hot tub for the last 3 years. Not once have any of my buddies been in it. Now, have you invited them to be in your hot tub?
Well, that's the other thing. What's the rule and stipulation right here? If you had a hot tub, Dirt, would you be that
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, I'd have no problem with that.
Do you think your friend who just got this house is going to be that guy?
It's been addressed. It's been mentioned before.
Yeah. Because of him or because of you guys texting about it?
No, both. But it's been acknowledged that at one point or another, maybe we're having a barbecue in his backyard and people want to jump in the hot tub. You know what I mean? Like, he's got... Like,
the other thing about guys like in hot tubs is this. You ever notice when guys are barbecuing and there's a hot tub available, it's like where people take turns. There might be two at most in the hot tub, but usually when someone gets in, somebody else is getting out. Now let me dry off. It's making room. Because now hot tubs they only have really two sure comfortable places to sit.
It's like in the jumpy house. You can only have four kids in there at one time. This thing's going to pop.
Right. Hey, yeah. Devin, you're in.
Right.
I'm coming in. Okay, Sean, you come right in. I'm coming out.
Right.
And the hot tubs, because they just had them at Costco, they were having people sit in them. It's basically both sides are like lazy boys. You lay right all the way back. Right. They groove to your body. Those two other seats are not that sure great. You got a jet going right in your butt crack.
Yeah,
your
that's true. That's
straight up.
I acknowledge
that felt good.
I acknowledge all of that. I think the larger point that I'm trying to make here is, okay.
Stop, Swag.
Swag's losing it. It didn't take us long today. You're welcome for this, by the way. Like the point of the hangout will not be to get into a hot tub. Like right? That's not the whole reasoning for the hangout.
I wish I could read a text that just came
somebody
in.
Somebody wants to know if you had a traumatic experience in a hot tub with bros.
No, I actually, as a child, like a 10, 11-year-old kid, we had a friend who had a hot tub, and I remember like early, they're like birthday parties. We would like hold our breath. We'd hang out in the hot tub for like an hour.
You go ahead underwater in a hot tub?
Yeah.
All right.
Try to see. Could you open your eyes in the water? Like, we do all those kid things.
Sure.
I just, as I've grown up, I've noticed that I'm not...
You're not a hot tub guy anymore, huh?
I like hot tubs.
You need a hot tub in your life.
I don't think, hey, I want to invite my four other guys into the hot tub right now. I'm usually like, can I go in the hot tub by myself?
You're painting me in a bad light now, okay? You're painting me in a bad light.
That's what happens when you steal my saving segment.
You get a hot tub in your backyard, Brandon Sprague.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
You put one in.
Yeah.
Okay, you invite people over for a barbecue, friends and family.
Okay.
And at some point towards the end of that barbecue, let's say we're getting kind of late, hanging out for a while, like three or four people are like, let's go in the hot tub.
I'll say, sure thing. I'll take the cover off for you. Hit this button, it'll turn the bubbles on.
There you go.
I'm hanging out.
And then three or four people get into their hot tub.
Well,
see, that's not weird. That's what I'm saying. It's not just a hot tub party. It's an added enhancement to the end of the evening if you want it.
Okay.
Okay?
I think we've both made our point.
That option becomes available.
I want to tweet the first time you and like five guys are in this hot tub, by the way. There better be a tweet with a picture. I need it. All right. What do you want to do next? Are you trying to get the Nick Saban segment?
We could do that next.
Or do you want to talk Blazers?
We could do Blazers next.
Okay. We'll do Blazers. They lose to Denver. They beat Denver. CJ's back. We'll talk some Portland Trail Blazers next.
Now we got hot tub delivery guy texting in, making me not confident wanting to own a hot tub, but you know what? Screw it. I still do.
Or he makes you more confident because you're supposed to, you know now what you're supposed to do.
He texted in. What did he say? Well,
delivered hot tubs for 5 years. Yeah. You're supposed to drain them every 3 months. Nobody ever does. I will never get in a hot tub that I don't own, and I don't own a hot tub.
Yeah, as P1 Ricky said, average person sweats 10 to 16 ounces every half hour in a hot tub. Four people in a hot tub for a half hour is the equivalent of 150 people in a swimming pool.
Oh, my God.
But I said, damn, I didn't need that visual, man. I didn't need that. We also had this guy chime in. Let me find this one. Somebody said, hot tubs are for children. What we really need in society are public bathhouses, large, warm pools full of men just bro-ing out. That's what would bring this country together. I think I'm on board with that platform.
They had those for a while, but they kept getting in trouble.
Yeah, other things were happening in them, you know?
Well, look, here's my...
Couple of bad apples had to ruin it for the rest of us.
I was just going to the bathroom. Yeah, so was I. I like hot tubs. I think there is a benefit there. So I would advise your friend to actually use that on a regular basis. I do think it's good for your body.
I don't think you really have any option. If it's an older hot tub, do you have an option with that?
What do you mean?
Like, can you take an old... Like, how do you move that out?
Yeah, you got to hire... You got to break it apart or something.
Right? So, I mean, you might as well. You take it, you know, part of the house. Throw it in. Hey, the Blazers had two games over the weekend. They won one and they lost one. Friday night was rough. They had a chance to win in Denver, and Denver was still playing guys at that point. But Damian Lillard had one of his worst performances of the season. They fell short. So that was the bad part of the weekend. The good part of the weekend was then Denver sat a couple of guys. CJ McCollum came back, and I thought actually looked pretty good. Looked like he was running and moving pretty decently. And you got a close win in a game that you almost blew after letting a big lead slip away late in that one. So a loss and a win over the weekend, and they are all but secured with home court advantage. Their magic number is one, so either they have to win one more game, they got two left against the Kings and the Lakers, or the Jazz have to lose a game, and Portland will secure that home court advantage. There's still chances they move up and down, but it feels pretty cemented that they're going to be the four seed.
Yeah, the way that they could, the way it could get changed, if I could talk today, it'd be great. It's just
I'd
my
much
job.
Rather us be a Peter Mutter Cup.
Every
place.
Time we're going to play that, okay.
Every time.
Here's the scenario, hits. Though, in the postseason right now, Portland could win out, OKC wins out, Utah loses their final two, Blazers Jazz would be a 3-6. So there's a scenario where they could move up, but their opponent stays the same. I don't think Utah is going to lose their final two. I think this is your matchup. I think it's Utah and it's Portland, and we'll see what happens. The scary thing is you could probably make an argument they almost lost or should have lost that game last night, and they went on quite a run to recapture that lead, and then they held off the Denver Nuggets, who, by the way, were sitting Millsap, Murray, and Jokic, and I don't believe played Will Barton at the end of the night.
He was not in the game late in the fourth quarter. I know
so
that.
Maybe there was a minutes restriction with him that I didn't see or hear about. Friday night's game was interesting because their role players all played well. Cantor had a really good game. Rodney Hood played really well. Alfredo Gaminu gave you good production. Jake Layman was hitting three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Lillard played his worst game of the year.
He was 3 of 14, 0 of 6 from 3.
He did next to nothing. I think he had 2 points at the half. He didn't seem aggressive. He seemed kind of passive. And one of those, I'm going to let other guys get going, but almost it was detrimental to the team to the length that he took it. And yesterday he was far more aggressive. He gave you 30. CJ came back, and CJ looks fine-ish. He still has some rust he's going to need to play off before postseason time. And I'm glad I said this earlier, and I'll go back and change my opinion. I am glad he's going to play at least a couple games, because if he doesn't, that's probably what you get in a postseason game, and that's not going to cut it. So you hope that he can get back to what he kind of was before the injury. The thing about Portland, though, is I'm not getting too high. I'm not getting too low these last couple games. I'm also not going to jump out and give you scenarios where this is why they should want this seed, because this is who they face in the second round. Let's win a playoff game, right? Let's snap a 10-game winning streak here and then had conversations about a second-round matchup. I still don't like that matchup with Utah. I know the Jazz just lost to the Lakers, and that's a bad loss.
That was a big help to Portland.
They are still playing really good basketball, and I'm not ready to suddenly think because of one game Portland's going to win. We did a poll question on this, and a large percentage of listeners that voted on it still think Portland's winning round one, which tells you all I need to know about how the fans are perceiving this run without Nurkic. It's fine. But I'm not convinced they can beat Utah in a 7-game series. And that's not me trying to be negative bummer Brandon here. I think the facts face here are Utah is also playing really good basketball and we don't care. But because we only watch Portland and they are, we think they're the better team. I think that's a brutal matchup right now, but they're going to have an opportunity to prove us wrong when the postseason comes along. This is the matchup I think they're going to land with in the 4-5.
Yeah, all signs are pointing towards that. As you mentioned, there's a couple of scenarios where things could change depending on, you know, I think the Houston plays OKC tomorrow, so some of it will have to do with that game. And then there's even, you know, people wondering how should teams try and plan for their matchups in the first round. You know, do you want to play OKC if you're Denver, or if you're OKC, do you want to try and fall to the 7 seed so you can try and get Denver, hoping they stay at the 2? Like, There's a lot of scenarios around Portland, but it's hard for me to see them moving out of this matchup, and this likely will be your 4-5 matchup, and they're going to get home court advantage because they can get a win over the Kings or the Lakers in the last couple of days of the regular season. The tough part with this weekend, too, we kind of went into it with fans feeling very optimistic, and you and I were on the same page Friday saying, let's wait and see how you do against Denver back-to-back games. And it was, again, another example of, to me, you're unable to get a clear sign, right? I mean, you go in Friday, you don't have CJ. Now we know you're going to have CJ for the playoffs, so that's a big positive. But Dame not playing well is out of his character. Usually you can expect him to have a big game, and the way he's been playing since CJ and Nurk went down has been lights out, and he's elevated himself even higher into the MVP conversation late in the year. But he throws out a dud, so you lose that one. You kind of understand it. And then I was excited for Sunday's game of saying, all right, like, you were in it. You got outscored by 12 points in the fourth quarter. You lost by 9. You blew the lead late. Like, let's see if you can go get him again on Sunday. And then you see the headlines, I think, either immediately after the game Friday or Saturday morning. They're not playing three of their best guys. And it's like, well.
Yeah, that was pretty deflating.
So here we go. Like, of course, Portland's going to win this game. We had people texting us. I had two different people text. Why is this spread 7.5? It's like, well, because three guys are out of the lineup for Denver. So it was, again, hard to get a clear snapshot of exactly how this team looks. So that's what makes it really difficult going into the playoffs. Utah, if you want to focus on their last game, it was a really bad loss to the Lakers. But prior to that, I believe they had won 7 straight. And it elevated themselves into the fifth seed in the Western Conference. So you have two teams who have been essentially beating up on inferior opponents. Both of them have bad losses in the last week or so on their resumes, and it looks like you're going to have home court against
them. Well, the postseason's coming, though.
This is it. It's this weekend.
Like, you talk about Masters Week, and I understand that, and we were joking about that. The NBA playoffs start. The Portland Trailblazers will be in the playoffs again, hosting a first-round matchup. And I think the larger story is just what are fans... What's acceptable for fans, and maybe this is something we kind of hold for later in the week, but like, where's the fan base, the listeners at least here at the station and people on social media, what is the expectation versus how you're going to react, right? We already had somebody text in, actually, I think Utah is a good matchup for us, and then he favors these people over those people. Okay, that's fine. I strongly disagree with that. I think Utah is really good, and they're not dealing with injuries the same way Portland is. But with that being said, is that also... If Portland loses, it's like, oh, well, we didn't have Nurkic, so it's whatever. Are the same people saying basically they're confident Portland will win their first round?
Right. Will you be disappointed if they lose?
And I wonder if it is, because I'm not sure it is. I think there is going to be a set factor in of, well, we didn't have Nurkic. Oh, but you expected them to win the matchup. So, like, the disappointment level will be an interesting one because we are a week in. It's this week.
Yeah, they're going to start Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
Their game one will be this coming weekend.
So these last two games, they matter for seeding, but ultimately they really don't because you need a lot of things to break your way to be certain places.
Yeah.
I think this is your matchup, man. I really do. I think it's Utah, Portland, and we're going to find out Saturday or Sunday, game one. Okay, you're hosting. You're hosting a first round matchup. You lost Nurkic. CJ missed an extended period of time, but a lot of the fan base is still optimistic they can win their first round despite who they play.
I think that's a really good point. You can't play both sides of the coin
on
that.
You can't. You're not allowed to do that. You can't sit here and tell me you're a true fan. Give me an expectation.
That they're going
to
win and then say, well, of course they lost. They didn't have Nurkic.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You can't have it both ways. We do have a poll question, as you mentioned, at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan. You can go vote on. We're peeking ahead a little bit here.
But there's two games left. These games don't matter.
Sure, but there are technically scenarios that they couldn't fall out of either spot. But all signs are pointing to Portland and Utah playing in the first round with the Blazers having home court advantage. So we have the question out there. Will the Blazers win in 4 or 5? Will they win in 6 or 7? Or will Utah win in 4 or 5 or 6 and 7? So you can go vote on that. We'll read some thoughts on the other side. What are your expectations? Like, if they play Utah and that is going to be the series, how are you feeling about it? We do have a couple other NBA notes we need to get to. One of them being, can Paul Pierce just shut up now?
No.
Like, I've had enough of that.
By the way, this has always been who Paul Pierce is.
Yeah, that's true. It's becoming increasingly annoying. Also, we have the random NBA players poll that's out. They polled like 125 NBA players. And Terry Stotts shows up on a couple of things. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. Also one for Kevin Durant to Portland.
Yes. There's belief.
There's one player out there thinks it could happen.
Bring us a title.
We'll give you some of those answers. Talk some more NBA and Blazers next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I was out at the Glorious House of Gains this morning.
Let's go!
Also walked a 5K on Saturday.
What was your time?
Crotch chop. I don't know.
Crotch chop on a walk?
Damn right. I had two Coors Lights on the way. Wright Thompson's going to join us top of the hour.
Boy, that's a 5K we all need to be doing.
There was no hot dog stand, though, along the way. You know?
Oh, that's
right?
Terrible.
Could have added to it a little bit. Wright Thompson, top of the hour. He's the best sports writer out there, and he's got a new book out, and we are stoked to talk to him. That's coming up at 2 o'clock. We threw it out there just asking for some stuff on Portland. We'll get to the Paul Pierce thing in a moment. And I don't know if this is true or not, Swigard, the Oracle. Maybe you can acknowledge this. Somebody said if they get swept, they set an all-time record for most consecutive playoff losses.
14?
I'll have to do some diving.
14's got, I mean, that's
most
up there.
Most consecutive NBA playoff losses. Let me do a
little
research.
See if we can find that number. Somebody said I want them to be in the record books for something, so I like that line of thinking. 14 straight. I mean, that's hard to imagine another team losing 14 straight playoff games. What else do we got here? Somebody said playoff tickets are $45 to $55, 300 level. You bet your ass I'm going. Somebody said Blazer fans should be thinking about showcasing their trade bait. I mean, there is an aspect to that. If guys have big playoff series, maybe they can up their profile coming into an off, or going into an offseason where there could be some movement.
By the way, yeah, it's 13 by the Knicks in 2001.
So if they get swept, they will set an all-time record for consecutive.
We're currently sixth.
Yeah, with 10 straight.
Yeah, 10 straight. Yeah.
Somebody said Utah's better than Portland, healthy or not. I just want Portland to be competitive in every game, making a long series. I think that's a fair way to look at it.
That's kind of my approach. If they win, then great. I'll come out here and tell you I'm surprised. I can't believe they did it. Amazing. Al-Farouk probably played well. I just want to see him be competitive and not get swept.
Yeah, we got a couple of those. Somebody said, I don't think Portland's going to beat them. I just hope they take them to 6 or 7. Here's one. I wonder if we put any stock in it. Somebody said, Lillard looks extremely exhausted. Defensive pressure from Denver the other night is getting the best of him. The playoff defense he will face will be even more intense. I don't think Lillard has the skills to overcome the defensive pressure. Does he look exhausted to you guys?
He scored 30 last night, though.
He did.
Yeah. I would say, though, if they go ahead and beat the Lakers Tuesday, I would not be surprised if Lillard does not play on Wednesday.
There's no reason to play
Especially
him.
These other teams win their game and there's no change in seeding.
Houston only has one more game, but it's at OKC, and the Thunder are still playing because they're in a dogfight for 6, 7, and 8. So,
but some people think that they might try and lose because they want to play Denver in the first round.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Like, would you rather play Denver or Houston?
Denver.
But if Houston loses, that means Portland would be the 3 seed if they win their last two games.
Yeah.
They'd finish with the same record, and Portland has the tie break. So I don't know then how much incentive, what the difference is, how the matchups look. Obviously, if you get to the second round, you avoid Golden State. But I don't know if the Blazers are looking that far ahead.
And I guess that's my larger point. I'm glad you said it, Swag, is stop. Why are we doing that?
Yeah, don't do that.
We've lost 10 straight games, guys, and we're playing this who do you play in the second round?
Yeah.
That is garbage, and that conversation needs to stop in the media, and it needs to stop with the fans. How about we just win a playoff game? Can we win a playoff game before diving in and going, I think if they can get to that seed, they'll avoid Golden State. Don't worry about Golden State. They're better than you. They will beat you. It does not matter. Worry about who your first-round opponent is. And I bet you the organization is thinking about that and not thinking about, if they're seated here, they don't play the Warriors in the second round. They should be thinking about what's the best matchup.
Sure.
And that's when
That's where things change. And that's where Swigard's right, is if they – it's not about the second round for me. It's about if you have a chance and the Clippers are – the 6 seed and you have a chance to get to the 3, because I'd much rather play the Clippers in the first round than Utah. And that's where that final game would play in a little bit. But – as you say, let's win one. Let's get one. And then we'll go from there.
I don't think that's too far-fetched and angry to be asking people is, can you stop talking about round two when they haven't won round one in 3 years?
Yeah, yeah. We have a poll question on that. We'll give you the results at the end of the show. So this happened. Dwayne Wade's having his farewell tour all year. By the way, playing pretty well. He's averaging just shy of 15 points, 4-4. Like, that's a pretty good farewell tour.
Could have worse send-off years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like you could, Dirk Nowitzki.
Or Paul Pierce.
That guy's got a little bit of, you know, he could probably play for another year or two, right? But I think he had a quote recently saying he wants to go out on a, you know, he can still do it. He doesn't want people to remember him being a shell of himself. Well, this came up. I don't know how this came up, but this happened the other night. Was it the Saturday night primetime?
Yeah, I think it's their. It was either at halftime or their little post-game wrap-up show on ESPN with or ABC with Beadle and Pierce. And who else is on that show?
Chauncey sometimes
Jalen
is on
Rose.
It.
Jalen Rose.
That's who it. And Paul Pierce was asked, who's better, him or Dwayne Wade?
Who's the better NBA player?
That's easy. I can say that off the bat. That's me. If you give me Shaq, if you give me LeBron.
They did. Call the big three.
We got that late. But like early in my career. These guys early in my career.
Ask you this. What would have been a perfect time for you, Paul? Let's make sure we get this right.
I was 24 years old. Okay. You give me Shaq. When I'm 24, 25, you give me LeBron and Bosh. I'll be sitting on 5 or 6 championships. Easy.
So then who has the better NBA career?
I played 10 years with who?
You know what?
With who?
Antoine Walker.
Would have won 5 or 6.
Well
rings.
Done, Beads. Beads kept asking him the question too.
Well, Beads had a nice little dig in there that he didn't.
What
hear.
Are you doing yeah. right now? Says he would have won 5 or 6 rings. Would have matched Jordan's 6 rings potentially.
No, he wouldn't have.
That's how good Paul Pierce was. He's the truth,
win,
buddy.
He couldn't win 2 with KG and Ray Allen. They choked.
So somebody, Jared Dudley, saw this, tweeted out, and he quote tweeted it, said, "Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Both had great careers, but D Wade's the 3rd best shooting guard of all time." Dwayne Wade quote tweeted it, said, "You said it better than I could." Then somebody else found the career accolades. Dwayne Wade, 13 All Stars, 8-time All NBA, 3 All Defensive Teams, and 3 rings. Paul Pierce, 10 All NBAs, 10 All Stars, 4 All NBAs, was never once voted an All Defensive Player, and of course the 1 ring. So
But
Paul Pierce thinks he's a better basketball player than Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, Sean Farnham has said this the best of anybody that I've seen. He was on this morning, and he basically was like, when you retire, people are supposed to make the argument for you.
You're not supposed to be the guy that's beating your own horn.
Yeah, and that's what he is.
Yeah, and this is who he has been his entire post-career. Like, they've had issues in Boston. They had the stuff with Ray Allen.
Yeah.
They just recently had it again with Isaiah Thomas going back and getting the tribute video.
On his retirement
which
night.
He was all butthurt about in the time. Like, dude, stop.
Now, as laughable as that is to me, because Paul Pierce was pretty damn good. I'm also not going to act like he wasn't
a really good player. He was a great player.
We can't be too surprised by this. That dude was driven by this mentality. And I think that is the larger point is he right about the D Wade comparison? No, everybody is agreeing that he is wrong, but he had the career he had because of the mentality that he's using talking like this. That dude, if you watched him play, he was really good. He did far more than he probably should have done in his career. And it was because of the mentality and the way that he kind of used that proverbial chip on the shoulder.
He also got wheeled out in a wheelchair. People don't forget, Paul.
Yeah, no, nobody forgets game 1 of the finals.
People don't forget.
No.
That belonged at WrestleMania.
And then he ran out.
Okay.
And then he ran out.
I got issues with that.
He also is, I bet you if you pushed him, he's also a guy that does firmly believe he has a better and is better than LeBron.
Oh yeah, he's got some LeVar Ball in him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. He does have a lot of LeVar Ball.
I'm gonna
beat
Jordan in his prime.
The difference is he actually could ball, and sure. LeVar Ball couldn't.
He at least played in the NBA.
Yeah.
Well, The Athletic does these things with anonymous player votes. We're always intrigued to see where certain people show up and stuff. They had one with 122 NBA players. Okay, mm-hmm. So they asked them a whole slew of questions. One of them was, and Blazers show up throughout this stuff. One of them was their MVP this season. A little disappointed in this. James Harden won the vote with 44% over Giannis. 38%. Damian Lillard got 1% of the vote, matching Kyrie Irving and Kawhi Leonard for MVP of the league.
Okay.
But they went Harden over Giannis. Continuing on, best ball handler in the NBA. CJ McCollum got 1 vote for this. He showed up at 6th place. Kyrie Irving won the vote on that one, which that makes sense. Who are you building a franchise? So you're building a franchise. Who do you select with your first overall pick? I thought this was interesting. Damian Lillard matched Kawhi Leonard in votes gotten. Number seven, the only guys ahead of them were Steph, LeBron, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, and Giannis. Most overrated player, CJ McCollum showed up on that list. He also showed up on the most underrated player, but Damian Lillard was tied for the second most underrated player in the NBA, according to other NBA players. Jrue Holiday, the only one they said was more underrated than him.
That's fair. I don't know. Dame first team all NBA last season. Underrated is a tough term. I still think he is somehow, some way here in Portland, but I guess I understand the Jrue Holiday stuff. Jrue Holiday, and we saw it in the playoffs last year. When that dude is healthy and he's playing.
Oh, absolutely.
He can be a nightmare.
Yeah, and nobody really ever talks about him. So I can acknowledge him being one of the most underrated. Which coach, aside from your own, would you want to play for? Terry Stotts showed up 10th on this list, tied with Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah. Fred Hoiberg is not in the league anymore. So that's great.
Isn't he at Nebraska now?
Yes, he is. He is a college coach. So that, I think that just kind of shows you nobody knows anything about Terry Stotts if they don't play for him.
Two more on this one. They asked, which team other than your own will win the NBA championship this season? 79% said Golden State. Then it jumps down to second place, 6% saying Milwaukee, 4% Toronto, 3% Houston, 1.8% Boston and Philly. Orlando got 1% of the vote, so there's that. I enjoyed that.
Who voted for Orlando?
I don't know.
Well, here's the other part, too. I like that The Athletic did this. Sam Amick did a good job, and I'm sure all the beat guys did their due diligence here. You read some of the answers. Go down to the franchise building one, all right? And when you get there, you tell me, but I'll just get my opinion on this.
The player you would pick to start a franchise with?
Now, I know Dame's on that list as well.
Yes.
But read the very bottom, and this is where I think you get in trouble, is I think a lot of players don't care about this, and even when they're approached, they joke with you. Because
James Harden's at the bottom of this list.
Right. Who else is on that list?
Gilgeous Alexander. Gilgeous, whatever. Gilgeous. Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
DeMarcus Cousins. Udonis Haslam. Shaquille Harrison.
Yeah.
And Jrue Holiday.
So I think you get a lot of players that don't care about this crap and they just throw against the wall and say it's going to stick. And it does, because now Shaquille Harris is in there as players you'd start a franchise with.
And one person voted saying that Kevin Durant will play for the Portland Trailblazers next season.
Yes.
So.
Woo! Thanks, Evan Turner, for giving us that vote.
I take back everything I said. Everything over the last 4 years. I take it all back.
Would you?
Hell yes, I would.
You'd come out here and be like, you weren't a snake.
Yeah, you were never a snake,
man. You made
a
good decision. That would be difficult for a lot of us, would it not be?
It would be really tough, but I would have no problem doing it. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up in the final hour, we will get back into Virginia and Texas Tech. We didn't get to the Nick Saban stuff from earlier. We got some poll questions that we need to answer. We'll start the final hour, though, with Wright Thompson. He is the best sports writer out there, and he wrote a new book, The Cost of These Dreams, Sports Stories, and Other Serious Business. You're going to want to hear this, I promise. Wright Thompson kicks out the final hour next on The Fam.